Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Molly and Hall.
We're trying to wake Chicago up.
Live at 5 on 670 The Score.
And here they come.
It's difficult to see how the Bears are going to beat the Cowboys with the NFL's leading passer, yards per play. This is a big play offense. They have Ezekiel Elliott. If you're Chuck Pagano, and you've spent the entire season hearing about what you're not Vic Fangio. You don't have the defense that 2018 had. And there's so much focus on the offense. This is an opportunity. I'm not saying that this is the way it's going to go, but the mindset the Bears should take is that this game, prime time, Thursday night, the Cowboys, marquee matchup, this has got to be their 2018 Rams moment. You're Chuck Pagano. Find a way to scheme your way to a victory.
Yeah, you know, I don't see it. I don't see that at all. I've been waiting for him to kind of unleash the dogs of war for a long time here and haven't seen that happen. So it's hard for me to jump in and say that he's going to go ahead and do that. I think that what we're seeing from the Bears might be a false positive, and this is a chance for them to prove that it isn't. You got to be able to beat them up front, and you got to be able to handle a wide receiver when you're down a corner. And really, more than anything else, you got to take advantage of the fact that Jason Garrett is dead man walking.
That's kind of my point, though. This is as desperate of a mode as you're going to face.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall.
Good morning, guy over there.
Mornings on The Score.
Let's try Ryan. He's listening on radio.com. Hey, Ryan.
Morning, Ryan.
My question was for Rich. He projected 24-13. Does that have Pinheiro missing an extra point or kicking two field goals?
Wow. Are you telling me Cold Weather Eddie could run into problems at Soldier Field? Help me out. Where are you kicking from? You're at the 28.
Okay, so that'd be a 45-yarder, fourth and six or less. They're going for it. They're getting in the shotgun. They're standing next to David Montgomery back there.
What if, hypothetically, they had a 48-point extra point attempt? Are you going for two or are you kicking?
Mully Hall.
I'm so fired up.
Here we go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Morning, Mully.
Good morning, Mr. David. How are you, sir?
Happy Thursday. It is game day here in Chicago.
This is it.
Yeah.
This is it. This is Sunday afternoon. This is noon on Sunday.
It doesn't feel like Sunday afternoon
tonight. It will.
Okay.
Tonight it will feel like noon on Sunday.
Right now it feels like Thursday morning.
Our body clocks are now designed to play on Thursday. So
that's
right. Good.
The second Thursday in a row.
That's right.
The Bears get a nice little break after tonight. What will that break feel like? The context of the next three games will be set tonight. You know, your season tomorrow at this time could be, for all intents and purposes, over, or you could be clinging to those last little percentages of playoff possibility.
Are there two more disappointing teams in the entire NFL than the Bears in Dallas?
That's a good question. You know, I think in Cleveland they would probably make the argument.
Yeah, but
that
they never did anything.
No, but the hype surrounding
these
Browns.
These playoff teams. The hype. That's a hype issue.
The Browns was more of a hype thing.
Yeah.
In Dallas and Chicago, two cities that really just kind of embrace their football teams.
Love football.
In fanatic way.
Yes.
You know, that's the term fanatic. Fan, definitely. Sure. Dallas and Chicago. Underachievement has been the calling card of both these teams. Both these teams have been totally underachieving, and tonight is the underachievement bowl.
It's true. And you know, here's the problem, or maybe it isn't a problem, but let me ask you a question. Dallas seems to have figured out what they have to do in order to move forward, and that is fire the coach. Have the Bears figured out what they need to do moving forward?
Well, I think that's kind of a leading question in terms of, so I guess.
I hate blamers.
The extreme response in Dallas is we're going to fire the coach and get better.
Yes.
In Chicago, to carry that through, what you're suggesting, I think, is that you replace the quarterback.
Well, that's
how you get to the next step.
But they're not going to.
Well, I don't know that you can say that yet, can you?
I loved the turn of phrase. What was the Ian Rappaport report that they had serious confidence?
Yeah, confidence. But Molly, I think we both understand how the rhythm of a football season and how, you know, in any given week you are compelled to say and write and discuss things that may be true on that moment.
But
when you look at the calendar and you tear off that day, okay, today, December 5th, I'm going to tell you what is the case today. Now, fast forward in a month.
Sure.
Context of everything changes. There's four more games to play as we sit here right now. I don't know how you can make that statement that he made. So in a month, let's talk, because I don't know that they're going to be as committed to Mitch Trubisky as they may feel today. And there's a good possibility, and it could be a slim one, that they could be even more committed to him because of what happens.
There is, told, serious confidence from this organization in Trubisky.
There was.
Serious confidence. Yeah.
But he has an opportunity.
Could be serious concern.
Well, that could be too.
And I'm sure there's that too.
There's got to be that.
I have serious concern over their serious confidence. But listen, you're right. Mitch will kind of write his own story here in the last four games. And the coach got up and said that he did well in the previous four games. So then I guess if he does equal to what he's done, you'll be convinced he had a good
second half. You had every reason to be bothered by that. And I think some people were too. But look, you define the organization's path by actions, not words. And he has to say that at this point in time because he's got a quarterback whose psyche and confidence have been a topic of conversation because he's made it one all season long. So internally, you've got to do what we would consider coddling of your quarterback. And I get it. But how committed they are to Mitch Trubisky will be determined after the season, not now.
Yeah, but I guess my point is that one team thinks they, and I don't know that they do, I don't know that they do get better, but I think they believe that they can get better if they lose the coach. They got the quarterback, they got the wide receiver, they got the running back, the offensive line's great, and they like their defense. Other than that,
you're right.
The coach is the problem.
If the Bears have a 17-0 lead at halftime, we may see Brad Marinelli coach the second half.
That is a distinct possibility.
Jerry Jones, Jason Garrett, find your way home.
It feels that way.
It does.
In my opinion, Jason Garrett will be coaching in the NFL next year.
How about next week?
Next year, he'll be coaching in the NFL.
How about next week? So, today, good countdown day, big day for the Bears and the Cowboys. The Underachievement Bowl kicks off about 7:20.
Prince Mukamara is doubtful tonight. And, Ben Broniker and Taylor Gabriel and Bobby Massey, they've all been ruled out. Danny Trevathan, of course, has been ruled out for a while. They continue to carry him on the roster, which is a curious decision because it means they believe he's coming back. And it means they believe there's going to be a reason to have him come back. So, in other words, if they lose this game, as you said, then they're locked into 9-7 is the best opportunity. And that doesn't seem like it's enough to get him in the playoffs. At that point, could they maybe take Danny Trevathan and put whomever?
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah.
But at this point, you're clinging to every possibility that exists and you are scrambling for every morsel of hope. So I think you keep him active.
The Bears are the underdog. They're getting 3 points in the game. The total is 43.5. So it's not expected to be a very high-scoring game. And it's Thursday Night Football, so the nation watches. The Bulls, how about the Bulls? The Bulls were so far ahead in that game, you thought you could put it to bed and everything was happy and good. But they blew the 22-point lead, and the Grizzlies got it to 1 point at one point. They got it to a single point.
Yeah, the Bulls.
And the Bulls held on.
Blew another lead. Zach LaVine finished strong. Yeah. He's the closer. And
106-99.
Yeah, he's hot. He's
two in a row, baby!
Two in a row. First time all year.
Two in a row! When the Bears did that, we nearly fainted, and everybody's been saying they're playoff bound.
They only play 16.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's
the Bulls should have two in a row by now.
The Kings and the Grizzlies are like the equivalent of the Lions and the Giants.
So that was my point. Yeah, it's the same thing. Although we won't find out significantly more with the Warriors coming in on Friday, since they're not really
told you the yesterday, world on fire. No matter what they did last night, they were going to be losers, no matter what.
Well, I mean, I'm celebrating that they won. They won.
We are? Where this is celebrating? Wow.
106.99. That's a big celebration.
You can't say that it's just the Kings, it's just the Grizzlies. They're just the Bulls. Like, they're one of the bad teams also. Bad teams, you got to beat the other bad teams. It's fine. I don't care who you beat.
Hugely disappointing news for the White Sox. Zach Wheeler has, even though the Sox.
No, we're not really going to get much.
No, we got to talk about it. The Sox offered him $120 million reportedly.
Yep.
He took $118 to go to Philly because his soon-to-be wife, I guess they're getting married this weekend.
No, New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve, I'm sorry. Soon enough, she wants to be close to Jersey.
Yep. And
Philadelphia is close to Jersey.
Happy wife, happy life.
If anybody's ever gone to Atlantic City.
You can be mad at Zach Wheeler, but he's a smart man. I mean, if his wife wants to be near in-laws, then
No. Okay. His soon-to-be wife. They don't even have any offspring yet. I told Kevin, this guy is so lucky that I'm not a White Sox fan, because this guy is
so am I.
This guy is in Mike Maddox territory.
How do you,
as far as being a coward and a chicken, you know
how? How is he a coward by making a choice that is best thing for his family?
Well, I mean, he didn't take all the money. You can't leave money on the table. You just have to hope.
Is he afraid of the America? Is he afraid of the American League too?
Somehow he goes bankrupt and he needs that $2 million. That he left on the table.
If he's scared of the American League, he might be smart too. And the Phillies also might be in a better position to win than the White Sox. So the
Sox might be better off without that guy at that kind of dough anyway. I honestly, guys,
it's a lot of money. We'll get into it at the 5 at 5. Cole Hamels, he signed with the Braves. So I don't know if he's going to do another podcast or not, but if he does, it'll probably be in Atlanta.
NBC Sports Atlanta.
Yeah.
Lighten him up.
Yeah. 1 year, $18 million. He got $18 million. That's a lot of money.
Wow,
that is a lot.
That was his
money.
Terms. He wanted to pitch one more season.
If you have a son, just tie his right arm behind his back right now. Okay, just tie his right arm behind his back. Don't let him use it for
Never
the first 10 years
on
of
a
his
lefty.
Life.
You a hockey coach?
All right, we'll get into all of it. We got the 5 at 5 next.
The Paul one too.
It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
5 at 5 brought to you by Sport Clips. Cut the weight, download the new Sport Clips Haircuts app, and check in.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw starts now.
Do you think Ezekiel Elliott will gain 100 yards against the Bears? How important is building an early lead just to stop the Cowboys from running?
You know, Zeke has not been running over 100 yards. I think it's 4 straight games that he has not gotten 100 yards. And you look at what he did against Buffalo, he only had 12 carries. So I think the problem for the Cowboys has been they have not given him the ball enough in these games. And that's one of the issues with the head coach that is bothering all the Dallas fans. So I think that the Bears need to be in this game or be ahead in this game. We have to see, if you want to win this game, we have to see the defense play with the lead. We have to see the pass rush able to go after the quarterback. And we never see that with this team. And they never come out and build a good lead. So that should be the priority. They need to basically start calling plays to open the game like they would at the end of the second quarter. Do that the opening, do that the start of the game. And if they can get a lead, I think it'd make things a lot easier. And if they can get a lead, then maybe they can stop Ezekiel Elliott from running the ball. But if I'm Jason Garrett and if I'm doing my homework and watching how the Bears have played, I would concentrate on running Ezekiel Elliott all over the place. I would really make that a priority in my game plan. Now, I don't know that he can do that. I don't know that that his hands aren't tied or that he's trying to do too many other things, but it seems pretty obvious that you should run Zeke.
Cowboys come in having lost 3 out of 4. Last time they you know, in that streak, the last time that Ezekiel Elliott had over 100 yards was against the Giants back on November 4th. He had 139 yards, 47, 45, 86, and 71. I think tonight will be that a point that'll be a point emphasis for the Cowboys because the conditions will be conducive to running the football. This is a December game. We are in December now. You look at the calendar and you step outside and you realize it. And this is when I think when you look at from the Bears' perspective, last year when they got good, it was when Jordan Howard emerged as a running threat because this was the kind of running back he is. Ezekiel Elliott is as tough of a runner inside as there is in the NFL. And tonight, I think you're going to be reminded of that. So they're going to emphasize the running game. They're going to use that to maybe isolate the play-action passing game against the Bears' mismatch in the secondary if Mukamura doesn't go. And the Bears, if they get a lead, it's going to be difficult offensively, so they're going to have to rely on their special teams again, possibly with Cordarrelle Patterson in return, or however they want to, you know, shorten the field and then take advantage. But it's going to be hard for the Bears because I do think the Cowboys are going to run the football, run it well, and I think Ezekiel Elliott will go over 100 yards tonight.
Yeah, I think he will too. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott, one of the elite running backs in the league, not only rushing, but you know he can catch the ball out of the backfield as well. So if we're talking total yards, I think he'll easily go over 100. And rushing, I would probably take that wager as well. We've seen far worse running backs than Ezekiel Elliott run all over the Bears defense already this year. And while the defense is still good, it's not what it was last year. They're not getting the takeaways. They're not stifling the run the way they were. So when you have a top player coming in like this, I imagine, you know, we're all thinking it right now. I imagine Jason Garrett is probably thinking the same thing. It's going to be cold. We want to control the clock. We want to get this guy going because the Bears defense is susceptible to the running game at times. I think that it's imperative that the Bears get some points up on the board so they aren't able to impose their will with Ezekiel Elliott, whether it is special teams, whether it is takeaways. I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't think it's going to be completely through the offense. They're going to have to find different ways to score and get into good field position, like you were just saying, David. But it is crucial that the Bears get a lead in this game, because if they go down 6-0, 7-0, 10-0, whatever the score is early in this game, it's going to be really tough to come out of that hole.
Building an early lead is always important, and this is something the Bears have struggled with all season. They just can't seem to do it. Now, if they can accomplish that today, that's going to be key for them. But, as the season has shown you, they just have not been able to do it. So I don't feel too confident that they will, unfortunately. When asked about the dominance of Ezekiel Elliott earlier this week, Chuck Pagano said it's going to take a village to take this guy down to the ground. Everybody doing their job in the right spots. This is a defense that's already stretched thin due to injury. I just don't have a good feeling about this. I think Ezekiel Elliott will have a monster game and will gain 100 yards.
Boy, I hope not. I mean, it's so obvious that that's what you should do, that you think that they're going to go opposite, right? I'm always worried about the Bears against the tight end. Okay, they always seem to struggle against a tight end. And that's where I think maybe tonight that could be an issue. If you do like Ezekiel Elliott to have a huge game, though, he is plus 215 to score the game's first touchdown of the game. I'm actually trying to find if they actually have a prop on him yet. I'm only seeing team props. I'm not seeing individual props. You got to stop it. I mean, these units have to play like their best game of the year. That front seven has to be challenged, and hopefully Pagano has been doing that all week to say, guys, this is our night on national television. You've got to stop that guy. So that worries me about – there's so many different things that the Cowboys could do. Will they do them? Hopefully not.
I'm not answering that. Good question, though.
What's the most important matchup tonight for the Bears on either side of the ball, and how will that impact the outcome? Or, more directly, what one player can least afford to have a bad game?
I think your mind goes immediately to a replacement for Prince Mukamura if he doesn't go. Kevin Tolliver, if he starts, obviously that's the quick answer. But, he could have a bad game, and the Bears could still try to overcome that. Khalil Mack's got to show up. I think the number one matchup is how Tyron Smith and Khalil Mack go at each other. He has some success against him. He's a very, you know, one of the best offensive linemen in the NFL at times when he's playing and he's healthy. And Khalil Mack has got to be a guy whose presence you feel tonight. He can wreck a game plan. He can ruin the night for the Cowboys. He can make it easier for whoever and however the Bears replace Amukamara, because you know your pass defense starts with your pass rush. And if your pass rush gets to Dak Prescott when they are throwing the football, if they're not emphasizing the run, then that's the most important matchup, because Khalil Mack can make a lot of people look bad. Hasn't done it a lot this year. Hasn't done it enough this year. When you look at the numbers, there have been reasons for that. But tonight, on national television, much like we saw often last year, not so much this year, Khalil Mack needs to take over.
Yeah, that would be great. And again, the lead would help you get that going. But, you know, clearly the matchup to worry about is whoever it is on filling in for Prince, because doububtful means out, in my opinion. I would be shocked if a guy was doubtful on Wednesday and able to play with a hamstring on Thursday night. I just don't see it happening. So I don't know exactly how they're going to do it. I don't know if they're going to have Buster Skrine try to be the starter. I don't know if they're going to go with Tolliver. I don't know exactly who the player is, but whoever's in the Prince Amukamara role, even if it is Prince, because there is a hint that he might be able to play. So whomever that is needs to step up, and that's the matchup to worry about.
Well, I think, you know, it's probably, there's a number of different matchups and things we could analyze here, but I'm going to go as simple as possible. I think it needs to be a big Khalil Mack game, and he needs to resemble the guy that he was last year and in the past more so than he has been this year. And I know that Akeem Hicks is out and that affects everybody else on that defensive front, but he needs to show up and have one of these games that proves, you know, what he is, this future Hall of Famer, this generational talent, this game wrecker, this guy that you have to plan your game plan around just to try to avoid him or neutralize him as best as possible. You know, I don't think we're going to see a repeat of the Rams game when he only was out there for 47 snaps, didn't have a tackle, didn't have a sack, didn't do a damn thing, because I think that Dallas will probably throw the ball more than 18 times, and you're going to have to see Mack out there more often than you did against Los Angeles. But I think, you know, I like Dak Prescott, but he can give the ball away. He's got 12 turnovers in 12 games so far this year. So you can, you know, force a fumble. You can get in his face, make him make a bad throw. You can get him under pressure. If they are able to get hot breath on the quarterback, Dustin, I think that you can absolutely make Dak give the ball away, and that's what they're going to need to do tonight. It seems obvious, but I think Khalil Mack is the guy. He will be the key guy if the Bears win tonight.
The most worrisome issue here for me is who will be filling in for Prince Amukamara, whether it be Kevin Tolliver or whoever. But since it's already been mentioned, I'll go a different route. Mitchell Trubisky, we've been asking for this steady incremental progress all year, and we've seen little flashes here and there, nothing consistent. Mitch Trubisky's going to have to have himself a game here. Yeah, score early, like we were talking about in the earlier question. Get some runs on the board. Get yourself a lead. Play, Mully, as you were asking for. Why don't you play like you play in the third quarter or the end of the second quarter at the beginning of the game? Score early. Have yourself a game, Trubisky.
Boy, Mitch Trubisky, huh? Well, listen, I think this is a game for the offensive lines, okay? The Bears, I talked in the first question about the Bears front seven on defense. How is the best way to stop the Cowboys and Ezekiel Elliott, if that's what we all think is going to happen, to score points and run the ball down their throat? How about sustain some drives? How about be committed to the run, and no matter what play is called, whether it's run or pass, do your job, okay? Sustain some drives, protect Mitch, open up some holes for David Montgomery, hold the point of attack. How, you know, Doug Buffon, right? We all love Doug, and what did Doug used to say, Mully? Right? You got to be able to run the ball, right? Run the ball and then stop the guy carrying the pig of the skin. That was Doug's lines, right? That's what you got to do tonight. Keep the ball, Bears. Sustain some drives. So the biggest matchup tonight really might be Matt Nagy versus Marinelli, a coaching, a philosophy, okay? Will Nagy be able to call plays behind his hide me behind this white laminated piece of paper and while I be me back here, will he be able to do that tonight? Will he be able to do that? And then will that offensive line be able to execute it?
Wow, very tough question. Very, very hard.
Has the White Sox free agent plan been scuttled 2 years running with Zach Wheeler signing with Philadelphia and Cole Hamels joining Atlanta? What should the White Sox do now?
Look, I'm trying very hard not to be kind of upset about this, but maybe it's good. Maybe it's all for the best. But the fact is that this is a guy you wanted, and as we had a texter check in, they didn't want to pay enough of the White Sox tax. $2 million isn't enough more than the offer. You got to go, you got to pay a White Sox tax and go $5 million, $7 million in order to get a guy to go to the South Side and like Zach Wheeler. So it's tough because I kind of was on board with the idea of Zach Wheeler at the front of the rotation and Cole Hamels at the back end, but neither guy wanted to do it at my price. I don't know what the White Sox are going to do now. They need a starting pitcher. They probably need two. So it would be nice if they could get that done. I guess Mad Bum, is that what the big rumor was, that they suddenly are on board there and interested there? What is he, 30 and kind of on the back end?
Ish,
of it?
Yeah, maybe even over that.
I don't know. So, look, the free agent plan has not been scuttled. They did sign Grandal. Their first target was Wheeler, and he didn't want to come here. They sniffed around with Hamels. That doesn't bother me at all. So it's just you've got to figure out a way to get a pretty decent pitcher in here, and there are still guys left on the market, and you just have to kind of you got to be able to roll with it and still go ahead and do what you want to do.
This isn't Manny Machado. This isn't February. Yep. You look at the calendar again, it's early December. This is Zach Wheeler making a decision for personal reasons and professional ones too. He wanted to pitch in the National League. I can understand that. He needed to pitch close to his fiance's family. I can get that too. You're not going to convince a guy, no matter when you start to make that kind of money and you're between $20 and $25 million a year, whatever. How do you tell the difference between an offer that's $118 million or $122 million, whatever the White Sox did? If they want to say that they made the highest offer, and it actually was, as reports indicate, great. They did all they could do. Free agency is a crapshoot. You don't go into it building your team around your free agent plan because guys will say no to you. It may have nothing to do with Chicago. It may have nothing to do with your organization, the South Side. There may have been nothing that you could have done to convince Zach Wheeler that this was the place for him to make a living, because he, in his mind, had already determined he was going to make the decisions for the reasons that he made it. So your free agent plan is not scuttled. You're just regrouping. You just have to reset your priorities, and you have to re-examine who's out there. Dallas Keuchel, Ryu's out there. Mad Bum. There are always going to be options. Who said it yesterday? Was it John Heyman or maybe somebody else we spoke with? This is the best free agent class of starting pitchers maybe we have ever seen. It's deep. And, yeah, the guys are coming off the table. You're not going to maybe get Strasburg. You're not maybe not going to get Garrett Cole. You still got to make those phone calls. Maybe this tells those guys you're willing to pay top dollar for the right guy. I don't think you can look at this as a White Sox. You can't just quit now. This isn't just, Manny Machado. You're going to go into spring training and try not to show your emotion and how disappointed you are. You got to regroup fast.
Well, no, obviously you don't give up. You can't give up on free agency on December 5th. There's still quite a ways to go before spring training, before the start of the regular season. If anything, I could at least appreciate the irony that the White Sox tried to entice Manny Machado last season by appealing to his family, and then this year Zach Wheeler gave them the cold shoulder because of his family and because, his wife or his fiance wanted to stay on the East Coast, whatever the story was. It's unfortunate. Mully, I'm with you. Wheeler toward the top of the rotation, Hamels on the back end would have been ideal. You can say back up the truck for Steven Strasburg. Going to be tough to lure him away from the world champions. They have a ton of money that they don't mind spending either. Ryu is out there, a couple of cheaper options. Porcello, Tehran, Gio Gonzalez. Again, these are back end of the rotation guys. I like the idea that you brought up last week, David, of maybe calling up Colorado, seeing what the price is for John Gray. He was a very high draft pick. We all know Colorado is not the best place for a starting pitcher. Change of scenery might not be the best thing for him. I mean, he's obviously got great stuff. Maybe you get him in a different scenario and he can reach that potential of being a top of the rotation guy. So there's still guys out there. There's still options, whether it's free agency, whether it's the trade market. This is a minor setback. It's a little disconcerting that they offered more money to Wheeler, and he still didn't want to come here, whether it was because of his fiance or whether it's because the White Sox are kind of a horse crap organization as opposed to a team like Philly who, you know, will spend a ton of money that they won 82, 83 games last year, whatever it was. And in terms of Hamels, he's a veteran. He wants to go to a place that's a sure bet to compete. Atlanta, two-time defending champion. While the White Sox have all this potential and we're hoping that they can take this step, it's all still unproven at this point. So I don't begrudge Wheeler or Hamels. I'm not going to go sour grapes saying, oh, I didn't want him anyway. Somebody's seen a lot of that on the text line and on Twitter. Oh, Wheeler's not that good anyway. Okay, we'll see what he does this year with Philadelphia because he's a damn good pitcher, and I just don't think you watch enough baseball if you don't realize that.
Has the White Sox free agent plan been scuttled 2 years running? It's only December 5th. So, and this situation is a lot different than it was last year. I mean, the White Sox actually put out a good, solid offer. They actually outbid the Phillies legitimately, and it was just a location thing. I mean, you can't fault the White Sox for that. They made the right move there. So, no, it's not scuttled, and you have some good names. David, as you mentioned, Madison Bumgarner, Hyunjin Ryu, Dallas Keuchel. There are some solid, really good names out there that you can add to your rotation. So this is still a good situation for the White Sox. The plan is not scuttled whatsoever.
It's scuttled. Listen, wasn't it right before we headed out of here for Thanksgiving break, weren't we talking about that Wheeler could be a Sox? So is that where this went off the road? Did they miss that opportunity to really back up the Brinks truck? I mean, David, you're right. You know, when you get into the $100+ million guaranteed contracts, we're talking about generational wealth. So I get that at that point you get to pick and choose where you want to go. I mean, you could here, Zach, and especially Zach's fiance. Just wait till you give up a home run to the Braves or the Mets, okay? And just wait till you hear what that sounds like. And guess what? I bet the future Mrs. Wheeler would like to be sitting in the scout seats at 35th and Shields instead of sitting in Philadelphia where they boo Santa Claus.
Before you go with your question, could you embellish on that?
Now 9-0 after a big overtime victory over defending NCAA runner-up Texas Tech. Just how good is DePaul?
They're pretty good. I mean, they played defense and they won last night in an exciting game in overtime, despite not having their best. Charlie Moore scored 6 points, and they won anyway. They hit some big shots. That's a very good team. They now have, you know, victories on the road against 2 Big Ten opponents, which are pretty good. Iowa and Minnesota, they've got a victory on the road against Boston College. This one against defending NCAA runner-up Texas Tech will look good on the resume. For the first time in 33 years, they're 9-0. First time probably next week will be that in 18 years that they've been ranked. They're probably ranked in the top 25. They got votes this week. It was fun coming in, hearing Les talk about Skip Dillard in the old days. A lot of people are harkening back to the past. Maybe this is your father's DePaul basketball team. Maybe this will be the season that they kind of restore a little bit of the tradition, finally living up to some of the expectations that Dave Lado had on the second go-around. The thing that gives you probably the best thing about DePaul right now, they play defense. And even when they're not shooting, that defense translates well into the Big East, where they're going to struggle. And it's going to be more difficult. They're going to step up in class. It's a tough conference. But defensively, they're athletic, and they don't look fazed by pressure because last night, in a great environment, they handled it well.
Yeah, it's great to see them win. Now, Texas Tech was without their leading scorer, right? That Ramsey kid did not play. It was interesting. Terrence Shannon Jr. led them with 24 points. He went to Lincoln Park High School, and he committed to DePaul before changing his mind and going to Texas Tech. So it's a pity he didn't go. It's a pity they can't get more home guys, you know, guys from here. And they have got some, which is why they're doing significantly better. So tapping into the Chicago market, bringing the Chicago kids along, I'm all for it. I think that's great. It's 9-0 is wonderful. Let's see how, and you're right, a couple of big road wins. They're padding that NCAA tournament resume but it's going to be decided once you hit the conference. So hopefully they can keep the winning streak going through then.
Yeah, I mean, obviously not the same Texas Tech team as last season. A few key losses there, but still, you know, really impressive program in their own right. They're, I believe, 5-3 this year, so they're no, you know.
Three straight losses.
Also ran. Hey, you run into the Blue Demons train. Get ready at the Wintrust Arena. I'm no huge DePaul basketball fan. I mean, growing up, they were never very good, and they didn't have a ton of players go to the NBA. I mean, there were a few here and there that were pretty decent, but they haven't really been able to maintain that kind of momentum and consistency to get me personally invested. But now, you know, if they are finally turning that corner after what seems like forever, and they have established something here. After,
you love a front runner.
Well, I absolutely. That's me through and through. I love a front runner. It's just something else for us to keep an eye on here, and it's very close to home. It's very local, which is always good. You know, I got into the Loyola thing pretty big a couple of years ago, and I have no emotional attachment to Loyola. I just want to see schools from the city
right
nearby do well. So if DePaul is 9-0, let's go with Blue Demons. I'm getting on board right now, and you're right, Mully. They're getting the wins now, padding that schedule, or padding the resume, I should say, making it look better for later, because conference schedule will get a little bit tougher. But hey, all due respect, 9-0, can't fault that at all.
So I'm getting into an Uber, leaving the Hartsfield-Jackson Airport at Atlanta, go into a hotel, and I get in, and the Lyft driver, or the Uber driver, asks me where I'm from. I say Chicago. The first thing he says is, how about DePaul? Not what about the Bears? What about the Bulls? Nothing about baseball. How about DePaul?
Yeah, there's a vacuum.
Yeah,
how had about to be an that? Older driver, right?
Yeah, no, he wasn't that old, okay. Actually. Yeah, I thought that was kind of funny. But this is an awesome run that they're on, and yes, it's all about the defense. This is something that they can pride themselves on, and it's because they're a little more speedy, they're more athletic this season, and it's all helping them out on the defensive end.
I do have an emotional tie. Some of my favorite how I fell in love with sports was going to the Rosemont Horizon with my dad. I was in second or third grade at the time, and I'm talking about the Terry Cummings, Mark Aguirre, Skip
fantastic.
Dillard. I mean, and that was the lead story on Channel 7 News. We would go, and it was late, you know, as a second or third grader, going to a weeknight game, right? And my mom's like, and it's, Mom, do you know what Mark Aguirre's number is? No, what's Mark Aguirre? His number is 24. And you know what 6 times 4 is? What? 24. You know what 8 times 3 is? What? 20. So I had all these mathematical tables.
Aguirre math?
We were learning multiplication. I was using the DePaul numbers.
Like a little Benetti.
I was, yeah. I was a sports geek math before my time. I was using that, and that's how I would get away with going to these games with my dad. Plus, back in the day, if you've ever been at the Rosemont Horizon 25, 30 years ago, I learned every word in the book sitting in the backseat of my old man's car trying to get out of that parking lot after a big event. So it was a lot of fun. Loved DePaul basketball. I love Zach Sadman's calls. When DePaul was
exciting.
Really, really bad,
yep.
It was worth tuning in just to hear Zach. So, listen, the Big East is okay. I think they are a top half of the Big East. If healthy, they're a top. And if kids will stay home and go to DePaul. Listen, just like Loyola, I had no personal investment. We were totally behind that thing. My kids had the T-shirts. We went out to watch the games. It's a good time. The city needs some good times. See the Bulls? Okay, would you rather watch the Bulls right now or DePaul basketball? I'll take DePaul basketball and Zach.
If they're top half of the Big East, they're going to the tournament.
Absolutely. Absolutely they're going.
That's a good question. I mean, I don't know. Tony and I can't answer that.
The Bears are getting points against Dallas, who have yet to beat a team with a winning record. Who will win and by what score?
Well, I hate to say it, but I think Dallas is going to win the game. And I think they're going to win the game. I don't know if I'm going to say they'll win. I think they'll win handily. So I think that it won't be as close as we would hope. So I'll go 21-13. I'll say it's an 8-point win.
I think you could make the argument for the Bears. I really believe that the Cowboys coming in here reeling and the turmoil, and that's very difficult. If things go bad, you don't know how they're going to respond. But I just keep coming back to the fact that the offense for the Bears has not given you enough reason to believe that it can score against a front seven that is, you know, even injured, is going to be a problem, you know, in terms of keeping the pass rush away from Mitch Trubisky. I just don't trust this offense to score more than 20 points. And if you don't score more than 20 points, you're not going to win a game like this. So, you know, there is a formula we'll talk about later that the Bears could follow, and maybe this is the way they win this game. But I just think that they're going to run into too many problems. It's going to be a close game. But in the fourth quarter, I think the Cowboys will pull away 23-17.
Well, here's the thing. Dallas hasn't beaten a good team all year long. And I don't know if the Bears are a good team. I don't know if they qualify in that category. But in every win this year, Dallas has gone over 30 points. 35, 31, 31, 37, 37, and 35 against the Lions. I don't think they're putting up 30-plus against the Bears tonight. And I think that, or maybe I'm just trying to will it and speak it into existence, that they will get a special teams touchdown, that they will get a defensive touchdown. I think that's how they're going to get a chunk of their points. I think Eddie Pinheiro hits a couple of kicks. I think the Bears win 20-17.
Wow, that'd be great.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
God.
I mean, that would be fantastic.
I'm trying to speak
just
it
to stay
existence.
Alive another week.
If Eddie Pinheiro wins a game with a field goal tomorrow morning, okay, I don't know what I don't know how I'll react.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
The Bears' defense has been injury-plagued, and now it continues going in this game with Prince Amukamara. This is a game that the Bears' offense needs to step up and, you know, win a game for this defense who's carried them at so many times over the past couple of years. I don't think it's going to happen, though. I just think we're just going to have another lackluster offensive game from the Bears. The Bears are going to expose Kevin Tolliver or whoever the fill-in is for Prince Amukamara. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be 24-20 Cowboys.
All right, so if you're going Cowboys, then you got to be going over to Kevin's point, right? I think if the Cowboys win tonight, they don't win a slugfest. They attack Tolliver. They make Swiss cheese of the Bears front seven. The running Elliott goes just absolutely bananas. The Bears are on their heels and they can't protect Mitch because they have to throw because they're down 10 or 14 really quick. If the Bears win, it's going to be one of these 17-10, 14-12 kind of games. So as Kevin did, I'm going to speak it into existence. I am going to say 17 for the Bears and 12 for the Cowboys. I'm not going to the window with that. That's just what I hope happens. And if the Bears are to win, it's going to be a low-scoring game. 17-12 Bears.
Cowboys don't score a touchdown?
No, score a touchdown.
I like that.
Bend, but don't break.
NFL's
defense.
Leading passer playing against a secondary without one of its starters and two of other starters, without three starters, is not going to score a touchdown?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm hoping.
312-644-6767. Speak it into existence. That's a great idea. If only it were that easy. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.